listen, he's an all-consuming fire. He's an all-consuming fire. All of us get tossed into the fire. I know that doesn't sound fun, but there's a refining that takes place. And the things that he wants to remove are removed. And the things that he wants to purify are purified. The things that are left are solid. They're gold. They're gold. They're gold. The things that get burned away, they're chaff. They're nothing. He wants to consume us completely. He is an all-consuming fire. He is an all-consuming fire. Come, holy fire. Consume, consume, consume. Consume, consume, consume. Till there's nothing left but you. Consume till there's nothing left but you. I want to teach you something here. The opportunity that I believe that we have right now, the consuming fire that God is, many of us have fireproof safes in our lives that we keep things in that we don't want to be consumed by God. And I think he's asking us to open the door to everything, all of it. Because there's things we want to hold. There's things we're afraid we're going to lose. There's even relationships. I know of people who are terrified to be healed because they'll lose workman's comp. So they would rather hide their injury from the consuming fire rather than releasing it into his hands. There are people who are terrified he might ask me to do something or give something up that I want to keep. Listen, God is not scary. The idea of giving him everything is not scary. What's scary is holding things back. What's scary is keeping him at bay from things that we lock away that we think we need to protect. So today, right now, if you need to turn the combination, if you need to take out a key and unlock a door, if you need to whatever, I challenge you. Open it all. Step out of the way. Say, consume it all, God. Consume it all, God. It's all yours anyway. Consume it all. All my finances, yours. All my family, yours. My runaway child, yours. My marriage, yours. It's all yours. My work, my school, it's all yours. Consume it all. My career that I put all my stock in, it's yours. Consume it all. Who I am, my identity, it's yours. Consume it all. Consume it all. Consume it all. Lord, the doors are open. Consume it all. We make a choice now not to hide from you. We make a choice now not to blockade you from certain areas. The whole house, it's yours, it's yours, it's yours. Consume it all. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. I'm yours. I'm yours. All of me. All of me. Even this stupid swelling and pain, it's yours. Take it. You can have it. Burn it up. Burn it up, God. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh. Thank you, Lord.
We're going to take our tithes and offerings now. We're going to stay in a place of worship, though. I feel led that before we're coming up here to give, just give it all out, what you got in your heart. Give your thanks to Abba right now. Just lift it up. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can give. Thank you that we can give here, and we can give here, and we can give out there. This is not a tenth of our giving. We give a tenth of what we have, but we give it all out there too. Can we get Malachi 3:10 up there? I took some notes. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Try me in this. Some versions say, test me in this. The Lord is saying, test him in this. And see if he will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Do you think that not having enough room is the problem? No. Buy more rooms with your blessing. Give your overflow abundance to Sandra. She'll take it somewhere. He's saying, test him in this, not to trick you. He is saying it because he wants to open the floodgates. He wants to open the windows. That's why he says it. When you're tested in school, it's to expose your capacity to move to the next level. Let's test God on his capacity. You think he's got a shortage? He has the next level blessing, and he has all the capacity. Test him. He has every level. He isn't saying, test me like a man with a gun. He's saying, test me with open arms. Take it all. He's not saying, test me, try me. He's saying, take it all. Let's be 90-10 partners in this. You give me 10%, and I'll give it all. It's God math. It doesn't make sense. Can we have Matthew 10:41 up there too? Or also, or otherwise? Matthew 10:41. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. When you go to the doctor, and the doctor gives you medicine, gives you advice that extends your life, you honor his time and his service to you. When the electrician comes, when Dakota comes to your house and fixes your wires, he rewires things, you honor his time, or you better. And you honor his service. So we have a prophet in the house today, and we are honoring his time. We're going to take an offering for David McDonald here, and we're going to take our tithes in these buckets. We are going to honor the prophet that is here with us today, and we're going to honor our Father with that 10%. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a house that we can give in. We thank you that it's not a one-way giving, but it's a flow. It's a back and forth flow from you and us. You're just asking us for this one thing. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. More appropriately, I'm feeling he owns the salmon in 1,000,000 rivers. We can feel that a little bit closer to home. So we thank you, Father, that you open the floodgates. So we can give up in these buckets or tithes, this basket. We're going to take an offering for David McDonald, and we're going to continue our worship with that.
This is how we're going to worship, guys. I'm going to make you uncomfortable. Can everybody stand? As people come and they're giving their offering, I just feel like we need to release thanks and praise to the Lord. And we are just going to cover this offering and this tithe with thanks and praise. Lord, you are so worthy. Jesus, we are so thankful for who you are, God. Thank you that your name is high above every other name. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness, God. Thank you that you have never left us wanting, Jesus. That you are not a God of lack, but you are a God of provision. You are a God of plenty. Jesus, you are more than enough in every season. In every season, God, you are more than enough. You are more than enough. You are more than enough. In every season, Jesus, we proclaim your goodness. Your goodness, Jesus. You are good. 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 From generation to generation to generation to generation. And from age to age, God, you are good. Thank you, God. 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 Thank you, Jesus. It's who you are. It's who you are.
At the beginning of our worship service, I tried to remember some lyrics, and they're gone now, but I was thinking, it's so beautiful when you guys are playing and when you ladies are singing. It sounds so beautiful, but when they're not playing this week and when we don't have somebody singing in front of us, you can still use those words against everything you face. And it'll be just as beautiful. Marie, do you got something for us?
Good morning, everybody. Aren't you glad you're here? Wow, it has been so good. We've been blessed to have David and Dee here since Wednesday night. They've been pouring out. They both have. Dee is in the back, and boy, she pours out in prayer and intercession, which is powerful. So we love them. I mean, you get to hear David again today. Yes, yes. This week, Monday night, 7 p.m., adult volleyball. Wednesday, we always have a food pantry here from 4 to 5. And teens, Friday at what time? 7. Teens here. Saturday, I'm going to have a women's night up at my house, 7 p.m. Saturday, not Friday. There's a little confusion last month. That's okay. So Saturday night up at my house, I invite all you women to come on up. If you need some directions or more information, just find me and I will help you with that. And Later this month, we have our community clothing closet on the 27th. Our next share dish for April will be on the 5th because of Easter, so we're shifting it a little bit earlier. And Sandra has something to share with us this morning. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I want to thank everybody for their generosity for our Kenyan trip. Unfortunately, our visas have not come through, and because of travel restrictions, we are postponing our trip. We're not canceling it. We will be going. We don't know when. That'll be, I don't know. We'll have to see how that all plays out, but we still are trusting for good things and better things for when we actually do go.
So many of you gave for the water project, and that is still moving forward. That money will be sent to Africa. We just probably won't be able to hand deliver it as of yet, but they still need it, and so we're going to make sure they get what they need. Sorry, I have a mint in my mouth. So anyway, just wanted you to know that those of you who gave and those of you who have been praying, there was almost $3,000 that came in for that. Yeah, so praise God. And they'll be able to do their water system they wanted to do. I'm believing that we will be able to help them dig a well is what we want to do. It was quite pricey. I don't remember what you told me, but it was like $30,000 or something. And yeah, we have a big God. Yeah. So we'll figure all that out. But anyway, just wanted to keep you posted, and we will let you know as the trip develops and we make another decision as to the timing. It obviously has to work with her schedule and the team's schedule, but it may give somebody else an opportunity to jump on board as well. If you wanted to go and you're like, it didn't work for me, who knows? Maybe the Lord has something else in mind. So is that all you had?
Yep.
Amen. Thank you, guys.
So we will be having another Bible study meeting on Wednesday. We will be meeting at my house at 6:30 Wednesday night. I just want to say last meeting was amazing. We all got to encourage each other. It was really good. So we'll be having the next Establishing Disciples Bible study, my house, Wednesday night, 6:30.
If you need directions to his house, you can contact Steve.
There you go. Contact me.
Hey, so Steve, youth are staying in here.
Yes.
The kids are going out. Are you taking them? Okay. I just think since what's the kids group name? Ignite Kids. I was just thinking they're like little firecrackers. So I was just thinking like if all the kids want to go up there and let's just pray for the people that are taking care of them, and for them too, just for their attention. So what kids are going? Come on. So if we can just pray for them real quick. Father, thank you for the next generation. Bless their time down there. Open their ears. Close their little mouths. All right. We're going to, in a couple minutes, we're going to get the word. So stand up or sit. Say hello to people.
People are like, wait, shake hands? Oh my God.
No shaking hands.
All right, I'm going to cut this short. I know all of you just got up, but I want to give David plenty of time. He's getting a little bit of a late start here, and that's partially my fault. So we're going to give him grace, and if he goes till 12:30 or whatever, we're good, right? So whatever the Lord wants to do, that's what we're here for. So many of you have been here throughout the week and have encountered words and various things. And so today, David has a word for you.
Amen.
Each one of you. So just grab a hold of what comes out and claim it as yours. I'm going to ask Apostle David McDonald to come and share the word.
Hallelujah. God is good all the time. And Dee and myself, I just want to say this before I even start a ministry. We want to thank you and your church, Jay and Lorelei and everybody for your hospitality, your love, your affection. We just feel so at home in this family. Amen. And we want to thank you so much for having us, because it's not a small thing to have somebody in your house and speaking into the lives of people. I have so enjoyed these couple of days, if I can say that myself. I've enjoyed the preaching. Amen. I really have. I've enjoyed the word. We got to pray. How many people were here last night, would you reckon? How many people were here? About 140? Probably 150 people. Every person that was here last night got a word. Amen. How many of you weren't here last night? You missed out. No, you were here last night. I laid hands on you, brother. I'll never forget your face. Amen. Come on. I said to you, you will not go back to Egypt. That was a good word. And so I want to encourage you. And then can I just say this? I love this painting of this bridge. But can I just say your bridge is too small? You maybe need to just make a big bridge. Because that bridge that I saw was not that type of bridge. It was a big bridge. And I just think you can just do like a big bridge and then just put on another screen on this side with a big aircraft carrier. Amen? Because this is what I feel God is saying to you. And it's not like I just think these things up. This is stuff that I pray through. I wait on God. I sense what God is saying. I really feel the days are coming that you will become an aircraft carrier. I see people flying in, being refueled, re-ammoed, and then released into their function, the operation, flying back onto deck. There are people working on the deck. Everybody has a position. Amen. Everybody's got a function. Everybody's operating. I mean, faith. Amen. Come on. And so the whole dynamics of church changes. Is that okay if we just talk a little while, seeing that I've got 3 hours? I want to encourage you this morning that God's shifting the church. He's shifting us from membership to kingdomship. He's shifting us. He's moving us into this active grade dynamics of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that we are moving into the time of the Spirit? It's going to have to be the time of the supernatural. Natural things won't help you anymore. Just showing up here on a Sunday morning, just having a little bit of time with God is not going to help you. You've got to be embedded. You've got to be on the rock face. You've got to be, I love the worship here. When these girls worship, they give everything. It's like they are giving everything. They are literally mining for gold. Amen. Come on. Every person on that platform is engaged with God. Let your worship be engaging. Engage God every time you come into the presence of God. Don't wait until they're getting all excited. You get excited. Yes. Amen. Come on. You get motivated. And so I want to encourage you that you're on a journey. You're on a destiny. You have a purpose. You have an assignment. And this house, the Bridge of Hope, will become an aircraft carrier. Mark my words. Yes. There will be people coming in from all over the world. There'll be people landing here that you've never even seen in your life before. There's going to be a stirring of the anointing like never before. Amen. Come on. I want to tell you, these vessels that Michelle put here, they are so prophetic. My prayer is like, Lord, would you just surprise them and fill them all up with oil or money? you know, whatever, diamonds, you know, let this become, in our church, we had bottles. We put bottles up just representing every person in the church, and people brought their bottles and they put all sorts of bottles up. And I'm going to tell you, we saw the most amazing miracles happen when people started to get a vision, an image of what they carry. Things changed on the inside of them. Amen. Come on. When you start getting an image of what you are one like one of those vessels. And let me tell you, every one of these vessels here had to go through a kiln. They had to go through the fire. And some of you are like, no, I don't want the fire. You know, you're going to have to go through the fire because there's too much dross there. And dross never allows the perfect product to emerge. Let me say that again. The dross in your life will never allow the perfect product to emerge. That's why Jesus, there's a whole thing about Jesus sitting and scraping away the dross in our life until he sees the reflection in us. Amen? Okay, you guys good? That was just my intro. But this morning, I want to speak about when you reveal, I mean, let me just give you the title if you're taking notes. Revealing the kingdom of God produces the power to transform. Let me say that again. When you and I reveal the kingdom of God, we produce the power to bring transformation. Well, how do you reveal the kingdom? Thank you that you asked. This is how we reveal it. When you prophesy, when you lay hands on the sick, when you're encouraging people, when you speak in a word of whatever it is, when you're smiling. How many of you know you're revealing the kingdom of God? And when you reveal the kingdom, you produce the ability to bring transformation, not in your life, but in the lives of the nation, the city, the hearts of people. Everywhere you go, speaking the word of God, you bring reformation. You are reforming and transforming an atmosphere. Amen. Come on. I don't know if you know anything about flies, but I lived in Australia. It's like the world of flies. All the flies went to Australia. And how many of you know that the flies are attracted to decaying flesh? They just love to be around swampy stuff. They love to be around poop. Amen. Come on. I don't see butterflies landing on poop, but I see a lot of flies hanging around that stuff. And the Bible says, life and death are in the power of your tongue. And we've got to realize we're living in a season. You've got to make a choice. What type of blessing do you want to be associated with your speech? Amen. Do you want some flies hanging around your head because your speech isn't lining up? Amen. And you're just attracting every demonic thing that is around because your speech is demonic. Your speech is doubt and fear and unbelief. We're going to start to change our speech and start to declare the word of the Lord. Come on. In the declaration of the word, there is peace and there's creative miracles. But if you're not declaring the word of the Lord and you're just declaring stuff out of your own human understanding and it's not fruitful, you're going to attract some flies. Amen. Not this church. Everybody, yeah, we're just producing fruit. Amen. You're like a mobile fruit center. Everybody just hanging around you. Amen. So this, saying that, there's such a powerful attribute that is revealed when you and I understand our position, when we position right, when we have a clear mentality that we're not fighting this fight, trying to stay alive all the time, but we've positioned, we've transitioned from servants of darkness to sons of light. How many of you know we've transitioned? One moment we were sons of darkness, and the next minute we're sons of light. We've been transitioned. We've been transformed by the power of God. I mean, come on. I'm not trying to figure out, am I still in darkness? No, I'm in the light. Amen. Come on. Say, I'm in the light. I'm a son of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Come on. When you switch the lights on at your house, do you hear like this warfare going on where light's trying to battle darkness? My lights never have any type of, they just shine. And darkness flees. I mean, if you don't believe me, just go home tonight, wait until 12 o'clock, switch the lights on. There's not going to be a lot of warfare in that room. Amen, come on. So in other words, when you and I start understanding that we are people of light, we start revealing and producing. So what do we produce? Think about this. When you and I understand our position, we're running in our lane, we understand our inheritance, you know what you and I produce? We start producing supernatural royalty. I want to speak about supernatural royalty today. I want to speak about how you and I produce authentic authority. Authority. Say authority. Authentic authority, godly authority, is so much more greater to see in action than human authority. Because human authority is centered around you. Godly authority is centered around His kingdom. And you and I, in this season, should become supernatural royalty. Just say that with me. Supernatural royalty. You've got to get that word in your mouth. Royalty. I'm royalty. I'm royalty. I'm kingly. I'm royalty. Come on. I'm part of another kingdom. I'm part of a kingdom. This is not a democracy. This is not the Republican Party. This is the theocracy. I'm part of a kingdom. Hello? And so, are you guys okay? Come on, man. You've got to start to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to start to think a little different. Because in Romans 5, let's go to Romans 5:17 and let's see what it says in Romans 5:17. Because he gives us a little hint in Romans 5:17. And it says here in Romans 5:17, it says, let me read from verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgressions of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Aren't you thankful about that? And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation. How many of you know that Adam messed up everything? That dude allowed his wife to eat something she wasn't allowed to eat. Wasn't Adam's fault, it's his fault. Amen, come on. He should have been right there and said, no, honey, we're not eating that apple. That's not ours to eat. But he didn't say a word because he was close enough to be invited to take a bite. He didn't just stumble into the whole deal, he was right there. And so we need to give Eve a little bit of grace because the dude didn't rise up in his authority. Thank you for your, all the men said, amen. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive. Who's the those? Just say us. Those who receive what? Those who received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life. Say that with me. Will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. When you go and look at the word reign in the Greek, in the Hebrew, in any commentary that you're reading, there the word means to walk in kingly possession. In other words, if you go and read and do some more word studies, it actually means triumphant authority. So all of us in this room, we start reigning with Christ. We live in triumph authority now. Say now. Because a lot of guys, we've debated this, say, oh, that's when you get to heaven. You would not need authority in heaven. I'm not going to be getting people delivered in heaven. I don't know which heaven you're going to. If you're going to still have to get people delivered and set free, that's not the heaven we're going to. So in other words, that word actually means you and I get to reign on earth now. And how do we reign? In supernatural triumph, authority, overcoming ability. Amen, come on. I'm not walking around feeling like a scarecrow. I'm walking around feeling like I'm priestly and there's kingly anointing on my life. I have authority. I speak to the mountain. Amen. Come on. I command. I'm not walking around shrinking and hiding, but I'm walking around with great authority. Come on. How are we going to take nations if we don't understand our authority? You have a purpose. You have a calling. You have a destiny. You've got to hear that every day of your life.
in the morning when you get up and you don't feel like saying anything to anybody and you don't even feel like looking yourself in the mirror, make yourself look at yourself in the mirror. Because I know some of you are pretty scary in the morning. You don't want to see yourself in the mirror. I understand that. But you've got to start to speak to yourself. I have a calling. I have a destiny. I'm walking in triumph. I'm a transformer. I'm a reformer. Start to prophesy that. Thank you for your enthusiasm, sister. I just love coming to this church. Can I bring my pulpit just sitting right over here? We need to be enthusiastic. We need to have the answers the world needs. We need to look like we actually know Jesus. That the King of Kings lives inside of you. The Lion of Judah is right on the inside of you. Come on. Some of you have got to start a roar over the enemy in this season. If you've got nothing to say, just roar. Stop tweeting. Stop chirping like a bird. Start a roar. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like, that's what we're going to start to see. And I'm so passionate about this because your birth, your natural birth was so significant. But your new birth is even more significant because it brings you into alignment with all the benefits from heaven. It brings you into alignment with your inheritance, with your Savior, with your King. Amen. Come on. It started a process. And you can go and read it in Philippians chapter 1. Paul writes it so well. And he says, Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, it says, I am convinced of this very thing, Michelle, that he who started a good work in you will bring it to completion. And not will I only bring it to completion, but I'm going to develop you in Brandon. And I'm going to put my spirit upon you. And you're going to start to rise up in all God's glory. And you're going to fulfill destiny. And you're going to start to see your daughter prophesy. And you're going to start to see supernatural things happen. Let me tell you something. It wasn't by accident that you got a new job. Well, that was an accident. No, God ordained it because you guys have been faithful. Faithfulness opens the windows of heaven. Come on, God wants you to understand that He's bringing you into this place of supernatural abundance. Philippians 1:6, I'm convinced of this very thing, that He who started a good work in you. Just say, there's a good work in me. I don't feel it right now. I may feel it, but I know that God's going to extend it. He's going to multiply it. Why am I shouting? Come on, man. There's such a beautiful spirit on the inside of you. God just wants to bless you. There's things happening on the inside of you. God wants to start to realize, He says, not only will I bring it to being, to the fruition, I'm going to actually develop you. Develop you to do what? Develop you to understand that you are the revealer of the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. I reveal the kingdom of heaven. Amen. She sang a song this morning and she said, Lord, we love your prayer. What was that song that you sang this morning? She said, God, we want your presence. God says, you got my presence. Then she sang something that was really scary. She said, God, if you say go, I will go. Really? Would you really go? Because He's already said go. In Mark 16, it says, go into all the world. And we're still waiting for the answer. Well, I wonder if I should go. God says, I've told you that 3,000 years ago. Go. Go means go. Amen. And we sing that stuff. And that was a prophetic song to this house because there are going to be very many people that will go and come back. Yeah. Amen. Come on. How many of you have seen that movie? Because I was in the Air Force, I love war movies. I love shooting Germans down. I love shooting people down. I used to have this game, aircraft came. And now and then, I don't do that anymore. I've been delivered and set free. But there was a time that I'd say to my wife, I'm going to go pray in my office. And then I'd go into my office and I had the whole thing. I had a big screen. I had the ear stuff you put on. I had the controllers and I was like a Spitfire boffin. I love Spitfires. I love the roar of the engines. I don't like the new stuff anymore. They don't sound like they really good. But it's like, I love the old, the manifolds coming out of the front of the planes. and it was like, you know, it was really flying. And so I would go out there and in my prayer time shoot a couple of Germans down, shoot a supper of, you know, Japanese down. I'd do like the whole Pearl Harbor. And he would say, how was your prayer time? I'd say, man, it was very good. Okay, I don't know why I said all that, but everything about you, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, everything about you has changed. No, no, just say it with some passion. Say, everything about you has changed. I can hardly recognize you. There's so much glory on your life. There's so much authority. Come on, tell them. Say, there's so much authority. You like guys will look at me. Speak to each other. Look at each other in the eye like you're in love and say, there's so much of God on you. There's so much of God's authority. I can't hardly believe it. I can't hardly even recognize you. You just walk in this glory cloud. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you had to say that by faith. I'm sure. Some of you are like, I feel like I'm lying. But you actually changed. There's something that took place on the inside of you. Amen. Come on. So let's go to Revelation and let's go and have a look in Revelation chapter 1, what God says about this. Amen. Come on. What does God say about your identity? What does God say about the supernatural royalty that's actually resting on you? What does God say about it? What does heaven think about it? Have you ever thought about what heaven thinks, what God actually thinks, how God sees you? Amen. Come on. And I know sometimes we battle. You know, this morning I hugged Steve, and when he walked away, I just started weeping because I was so overwhelmed by, in the moment right there, I just was so aware of God's love for me. I was so aware of his papa love for me, his Abba love for me. In that moment when I hugged him, I mean, I just hugged him because I felt to hug him. And when he walked away, this window just went, shoo, and immediately I was just so overwhelmed by God's love for me. And I think some of us miss those opportunities because we're tuning in to the wrong voice. We're identifying with the wrong identity. We're placing our identity on something that's not God. I pray this morning that God will superimpose his identity, his love, his perfect plan for your life over you this morning, that when you leave here, you'll say, I don't know, but I can't ever think about that again. I feel totally different. I'll never be the same again. I pray that this morning. And I feel an anointing this morning that God's going to start to superimpose on your heart things that was missing in your life. Come on. And because when you can only live out of a fullness, you cannot speak out of lack. You've got nothing to say if you're lacking this type of revelation. And the enemy likes it when you shut up. He doesn't want the church to speak. He doesn't want the church to have revelation. If he can stop you declaring the word of the Lord, he's got you. If you stop declaring the word of the Lord over your life, he's got you. He wants you to be quiet. Doesn't want you to speak about the triumph. Doesn't want you to speak about the glory. Doesn't want you to speak about the breakthrough. Just be quiet. A little guy called blind Bartimaeus, the whole church kept on saying to him, shut up, don't talk, don't speak, you're too loud. Because this dude kept on shouting out. And when they told him to shut up, he shouted all the louder. And you're in a place where you're going to start to have to shout all the louder because you can. Amen, come on. That's for somebody here this morning. You've been living in your blindness and everybody's told you to shut up. The enemy's told you to be quiet. You've got to rise up and you're going to have to start to shout as loud as you can so you can break through all the historical junk in your life. There's all this historical layer after layer after layer after layer. Well, it happened with our great-grandfather and our grandfather and our grandmothers and all the stuff that people lay on us and we buried right at the bottom of all this junk. You've got to have to press through all the stuff. So Revelation chapter 1 says in verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. God was speaking to him and he started to write this and he says, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. And can we get a big hallelujah? And from the seven spirits who are before his throne and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Now listen to this. And the ruler over the kings of the earth. Now, can I propose that you are the kings of the earth? Do you believe that you are the kings of the earth? Because he says, and Jesus is the faithful witness, the firstborn, and the ruler over the kings of the earth to whom you loved us. I want to tell you, you've got to write that in over your name. I am a king living on the earth, and Jesus is my ruler. Come on. And then the next verse even gets better. It says this. It says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Right there, I look at that and I realize I've got to understand my role. Because let me tell you what we slip into. Can I tell you what we default back into as churches? We keep on praying. I hear people preach it. I hear people speak it. I hear people pray it. God, I just ask you that you will help us. You know, we just feel like we can't make it. And Lord, I just feel I'm a sinner. And God, would you just come and wash me again? Dangerous. Because what you're alluding to is Jesus didn't do the job. But when he was on the cross, he said something. He said, it is finished. It's done. You have become, in Corinthians we read it, you are now a new creation. All things have passed away. You have become a new creation. All things have passed away. All things, say all things. All things, all things, dirty things, perverted things have been washed away. I've become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Come on. Your spirit has been renewed. Your flesh has to come into line with your spirit. Not the spirit coming into line with your flesh. We don't acknowledge it. Well, I just feel I'm still a sinner. And, oh, Jesus, would you give me more of your spirit? If you gave you any more of his spirit, you'd die. You'd explode. Start to acknowledge the fact that you have everything God has given to you. You have been given everything. You have been made. You've been cleaned. You've been sanctified. You've been justified. Stop visiting the vomit of the past. Stop going into the pig pen in the past because you love pig stop so much. Oh, I just have to hang with the pigs this week, and then on Sunday I'll go back and just ask Jesus for mercy. Leave that stuff alone. Step into your destiny. Step into your rightful position. Take your position. Put the crown on your head. Get clothed in Christ. Take the scepter in your hand and say, from this moment on, I'm going to live triumphantly on the earth as a king. I am a king. I may not look like a king, but believe me, in the invisible world, you can't see it yet, but I'm a king. I may not have a sword, but somebody gave me a staff. Give me my staff. I've got my staff. I may not have a crown. I've got the staff, and boy, I'll use it on you. I can pick your nose at that thing. Amen. There's something in you and on you. There's an authority that if the church would just wake up to, every demonic sphere in the area will flee and go and live in Moscow or somewhere. But we don't walk around in our authority. We walk around we dumbed all that stuff down. Don't think big. Don't be this. Don't be that. Just be normal. Just be cool. Just be cool, brother. Just be cool. Just take it easy. Somebody said to me in Denmark some time ago, he said, why are you so spiritual? Because I was praying in tongues. He said, gee whiz, you're super spiritual, aren't you? I said, brother, you better believe it. See, everybody around you wants to turn it down, dumb it down, just dumb it down, just be normal, just live in this natural world like nothing actually happened in the spiritual. Am I speaking to somebody? You've got to rise up in this season because when I look at this, when I understand my role, when you see yourself as a king, listen to this, when you see yourself as a royal priesthood, when you see yourself as royalty, it will shift your theology. It'll shift your theology. I'm telling you, it'll change your perspective. Your influence will change. You'll start to have an effect. Amen. Come on. Something will start to rise up on the inside of you. And you'll look over these valleys and these mountains and say, Lord God, you've given us all authority. We're going to possess the land. We are possessors. You're not just hiring the land. You're possessing the land. You're not just living here and just, well, maybe if we can just scratch out a little bit of a living here, you know, everything. No, you've got to possess it. Amen. You've got to possess the land. And so when I look at this, the Lord gave me four things. He said, the Bridge of Hope will have a marketplace market. It'll have a marketplace authority. It'll have kings in the marketplace. You'll have kings in the regional areas of this nation. There'll be national leaders coming out of your church. Come on. I know you don't want to leave Alaska, but there's national leaders coming out of this church that will go to D.C., that'll be around government. Amen. Come on. There will be global kings that'll come out of this church. Global kings will be released into their destiny out of this church. This is not like the neighborhood watch, like a security company. No, you're not a security company. You are armed and dangerous. This is an army of God ready to take out the battle, to take out the enemy, to take it to the rock face. We're not just hanging in the strong room. We're actually out there battling this stuff because we understand what our roles are. Come on. Do you understand what your role is in this season? In other words, societies change. Nations change. We start to see global impact because the influence you and I carry produces life. So these songs that we sing in the morning and the stuff that we prophesy from the platform actually start coming to pass. God, I'm going to go into all the world. I'm going to go into all the world. I'm going to go start something. I'm going to do something in the city of Anchorage. I'm going to start to do something in the byways and highways of Alaska. I'm going to start going out there. I'm going to be... How many of you realize? You know, last night, somebody was speaking about America. Well, I just had a vision. I can't even remember. But I just felt the Lord say, do you realize that America, because of the pioneering... You carry a pioneering route. When you look at nations that aren't pioneering nations, England is not a pioneering nation. Amen? Come on. All of Europe, they're not pioneers. That's where they were and they just lived there. But there were people that left those nations like the people that came to America, pioneers. You can look at Australia. Australia is a pioneered nation. South Africa, pioneers. Amen? Come on. People that came to South Africa. People that went to other nations from other nations. There's something on those people. It's almost like industrious. America is now the most industrious nation in the world. Amen. Come on. We think Japan. No, Japan is just, they've just flunked out. They're no longer an industrious nation. But America has now become an industrious nation. It's like there's movement, there's expansion in the United States, because I believe that once you're a pioneer, you're always a pioneer. And even sitting in church, you've got to pioneer this stuff. You've got to go where angels fear to tread. You can't just be happy with the status quo. You've got to say, God, I have a global impact on my life. Because if we don't think like this, listen to me, just three things. If we don't think this way, we won't govern well. And the word govern, when you read the word govern, there's three things I want to tell you. When we understand that we have influence, we start to govern well. That speaks of cities. So our cities, wherever you live, your town, your village, wherever you live, starts to be transformed because you've taken on a kingly role. Come on, man. So in other words, when you see shops broken and empty, you actually step in and you change the economy over that place. Amen. Come on. You start to change economies. You become the solutionists. You become the cultural architects. You go in and say, you know what? We're going to pool our finances and we're going to start buying large areas of land and property. And we're going to start owning things in the city. And we're going to inject back into our city that which we carry. And we ship things. Amen. Come on. Number two, we start leading well. You know what that word leading means? The word leading, when you go and study it, one of the root things is families. You start leading your family well. You start leading your sons well and your daughters well. And that, so there's no gender problems. You know, I look at all these little kids and they're going to school and teachers are telling them, well, today you can be a donkey, tomorrow you can be a horse, on Wednesday you can be a banana, and on Friday, David, you can be Diana. You've got to be sure that the language you're speaking at home lines up with where they're going. Otherwise, other people will tell and influence what your kids should not be. Amen? Come on. And if you're homeschooling them, please do a good job. It's not free school. It's not like you can sleep until 12 and then we'll try and teach you between 1 and 2. No, you've got to be diligent to teach your kids at homeschool. Because I've been to some homes down in the lower 48 and it's like, there's no school. What are you doing? Well, we're homeschooling and we don't. And so the kids are running around. There's no school. And it's like, this is not right. I just thought I'd pop that in. It's like 25 cents worth. If you're homeschooling, you better be diligent. You've got to be obedient. Amen? Come on. And so the last one is we start discipling well. Our churches are wells of discipleship. We start bringing people into their anointing. We start bringing people. You know, I heard this morning they've got stuff for youth going on. They've got prayer meetings going on. All sorts of other stuff going on in the church. Get connected. Don't stay away and say, oh, well, I'm too tired. Get to a prayer meeting because in that prayer meeting, God could give you some stuff. Amen. Get connected to a family. Get connected to what the activities are so that you start understanding that there's this, that there's discipleship going on. Amen. Come on. We must allow this paradigm shift to take place. I know this is a big paradigm shift from moving from just feeling common to moving to feeling righteous and uncommon and royal. There's nothing common about you. You're an uncommon person. And so you've got to shift the stuff in your life. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to ignite faith in you. How many of you know it's going to take faith to start seeing yourself in a whole new light? Instead of seeing yourself as a beggar at the gate, you start seeing yourself as a king. And then you start realizing, how many of you know that your language changes as royalty? Your actions changes as well. So everything about your life changes because you know that you're royalty. But in order for that to happen, you've got to have faith. Come on, can you see? Can you see yourself in another? Can you see yourself operating from another place of authority? Can you see? Can you sense it? Are you asking for it? Or are you just happy with the status quo? Because this is what I hear people say. Well, Pastor David, I don't think anybody cares about me. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You have been lied to by yourself. You've got to repent and say, I know God loves me. Let's start right at that point. I'm loved. He's so passionate. He cares for me. I'm his son. I'm the apple of his eye. All that. You need to start at that point, and you've got to destroy. You've got to cut off the umbilical cord that keeps you thinking that you're just a beggar. I hear a lot of Christians. It's like, come on, man. I wish I had a stick. I'd beat you. Just a little bit on the head. Just a little tap. I know my wife is cringing up there, like, I have a big stick. But you're a king. You're married to this queen. You have great authority. When you walk in the room, people get up. There's authority there. Can you imagine how much more authority you have in the spiritual realm? Because your natural authority pales in comparison to the spiritual authority that you carry. Every one of you sitting at the sound of my voice, the minute you wake up in the morning, all of the natural realm comes to attention waiting for a command. But no commands come. So the natural realm goes back to its former state because it's become so used to the fact that there's no commands coming. But you realize that the natural realm is actually waiting for you to command it. Pastor David, where do you read that? I'm glad you asked me. Romans chapter 8, it says all of creation is moaning, it's groaning for the manifestations of the sons of glory. But the sons of glory don't know they're glorious yet. So the natural realm just, it's cool. But the day is coming where the church will wake up and we'll start to declare things. Do you know that the natural realm, I don't know if you knew this, yes, but the natural realm is the only realm that's never been redeemed. It's not a redeemed realm, but we've been redeemed. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And God's saying, how about you getting into alignment with my word and redeeming the natural realm? Ooh, now we're talking about some stuff. You can go and study it. It's in the Bible. All of creation. Now, let me just say this. Think about this. So if creation is groaning, how about the unbelievers groaning? How about the world out there groaning for the sons of man, the sons of God, to rise up and become the light of the world? How about that? When we look at that, why don't we just say, well, you know what? If the nature's groaning and God is more interested in man, then how about the world groaning so that the sons of man, God's kingdom, would come in their realm? I don't know. That's what I think about often. Is that okay? I pray this morning that you receive a revelation of royalty and that you become servant kings. That you start ruling like Jesus. That you start reigning like his kingdom. Mark 6:33. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. Mark 6:33. Is that what it says? Matthew 6:33. Put it up there. Matthew 6:33. It says, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added to you. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom. Be like the kingdom. Talk like the kingdom. Speak like the kingdom. Love like the kingdom. Be like the kingdom. Manifest like the kingdom. And all these other things will be added to you. But you have to start identifying yourself to the kingdom. Amen. Come on. When I was in the military, my military wasn't going to send me supplies until I identified myself. Come on. I couldn't say, well, I'm just on holiday. I need some backup. They'll say, who are you? What's your number? What's your ID? What squadron are you from? Da, da, da. And all these different things. Before they sent anything, they wanted to identify who I was. And sometimes I think even the kingdom is confused because you can't even identify who you are. We're trying to send you a blessing, but who are you? I hear a voice. That's just my editorial add-on. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, how many of you ever have, you know, when we had kids, and our kids were just, you know, like 2-3-year-old, 4-year-old kids, it's like they just start moaning, and it's like, and I had to stop them many times and say, Jonathan, I don't know what you're saying to me. You asking me all this stuff, and all I hear is, stop, breathe, talk to me. And I can't, I mean, sometimes when I hear Christians, it's like, stop. Take a breath and speak the word of the Lord. Because what you're speaking is not actually connecting with heaven. Because God does not respond to anything but his word. Doesn't respond to doubt, doesn't respond to fear. He responds to the word. Amen? And I'm going to just land this thing right now. Stop trying to, listen to this, stop trying to administrate his authority from a human perspective. Start to administrate his authority from knowing that you are royal priests and kings. Amen, come on. There's an authority there that we can actually come around the table. There's an authority. God recognizes that authority and then he responds to that authority. Why would he respond to you if there was no authority? The Bible says in Hebrews, it says, I think it's 6:11, it says, and it's impossible to please God without faith. So the one thing that has to be in place is faith. And I'm going to start speaking out of this place of faith, and I'm going to start to speak out of this place of authority, and I know God's going to respond. Amen? Okay, let's go back to Revelation 1. I'm going to show you two things, and then we're going to end, I promise you. Two things. And you need to write this down. Number one, let's just read this again. It says, and grace and peace to you from him who is and was and is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Underline that in your Bible, because the first thing that happens when we read that scripture is this. You receive your assignment. Just put that up on the screen over there. Revelation 1, 5, 4. 5, yes, sorry. Revelations 5. Let's go there quickly. No, is that the one? Yes, that's the one. That's the right one. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins. No, it's the one just before. I'm sorry. Okay. We'll find it. Anyway, it says here in the scripture, it says, let me read it out of the Bible again. It says, and verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, what that actually means is this. Number one, you receive an assignment. Say assignment. When you hear that word, I am a king, Jesus is the ruler over the kings of the earth, the first thing that comes up in my spirit, number one, my assignment is to operate as a king. So assignment. Number two, it gives you a function. In other words, my functionality changes from being a beggar to a king. Kings protect. Kings give. Kings release. Kings cover. Kings go to war. Amen. Come on. There's certain things about kings. So number one is I receive my assignment. And number two, I understand my function. But the next point is going to be so important, because when you read verse 6 and it says, and he has made us kings and priests to his God. You know what that gives you? Jurisdiction. I love jurisdiction. Listen to me. Wouldn't you want, if somebody was breaking into your house and they had a weapon and you were lying in your bedroom and you phoned the police, wouldn't you like the police to come with a gun? Not a stick. Somebody's trying to kill your family and the police show up there with a stick. You see, we don't understand jurisdiction. And God says the reason why, if you don't understand your jurisdiction in this season, you won't govern well, because you'll only govern by the amount of jurisdiction you have. Woo! So over what do you have jurisdiction, Kim?
Everything.
Give me more specific stuff.
The Arctic of Alaska.
You have jurisdiction over the earth. You have jurisdiction over Alaska. You have jurisdiction over your family. You have jurisdiction over the roads. You have jurisdiction over the virus.
Yes. Amen.
I'm just calling it the virus from now on.
Yeah.
Stop honoring a disease.
Yeah.
It's like we're honoring this disease.
Yeah.
Just don't honor it anymore. So God's saying, I'm going to give you jurisdiction.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you governance. I'm going to give you authority.
Yeah.
And when you understand, when you understand your jurisdiction, you start governing well.
Yeah.
You start bringing government into areas that are absolutely messed up. You start speaking life over families. I take authority in the name of Jesus. I speak with authority. Amen. Come on. I'm generous. I give into my society, into my community. I'm protective. Amen. So something starts to change. The whole area of my life starts to change because I understand my jurisdiction. Amen. Come on. I actually wrote it to you. Unless you know your jurisdiction, you will not govern well. And the church has got to govern well.
Yes.
Amen. Come on. And when we start governing well, I want to tell you, man, there is, God, listen to me, stop being confused between your calling and your assignment. We're getting all confused between our calling and our assignment. How many of you know that Mark 16 is your calling? Let me say that again. Mark 16 is your calling. Go into all the world and preach and publish the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lay hands on the sick, drive out demons. That's your calling. But my assignment is nations. My assignment is training leaders. My assignment is raising up apostles. My assignment is raising up prophets. Amen. Come on. So Father God, we just pray today in the name of Jesus that 2020 will become a year of supernatural positioning. Supernatural positioning. You hear what I'm just saying? Supernatural positioning. That you position us, that we find our assignment, that we find our leadership, that we find our connection, that we are intentional in what we do, that we take authority, that we shift things into place, that all of creation comes into agreement with the Word of God on our lives in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Come on, lay hands on your heart this morning. Father God, we just thank thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Supernatural breakthroughs, God. Supernatural breakthroughs. That brother sitting there with the gray t-shirt on, the day you have been waiting and waiting and waiting for things to break for you. It's like, God, when are these things going to start to be released? And you've been doing everything. You've been standing on the word. You've been waiting. You've been crying out to God. And I'm telling you today, brother, God is going to break through for you. This is going to be the breakthrough year for you. This is going to be a year that you're going to see things come to your household and to your hands that you never thought would happen. There's a breakthrough anointing that God's going to release over your life. Sorry, that flakes off on Thursday. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you guys are so ready for breakthrough. Amen? Come on. People say there's no guarantees. Yes, the Bible says that we win in the end. That's the guarantee we have. We have a guarantee that's signed with His blood. He's the guarantor. Yeah. Don't allow people to talk you out of your dream. The sickness that's in your body needs to go today. It's a foreign thing. Jesus died. His body, it says that he was so beaten that he was unrecognizable. So that sickness does not have any way in your life. Pain must go. Cancer, you don't spell with a big C, it's a small C. This will be a cancer-free zone. This will be a sick-free zone. This will be a devil-free zone. People walk through that door, the devils will come out of them. And you carry that authority. You carry that authority. Come on, lay hands on your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I accept my royal identity. I accept my royalty today. I'm supernatural in my royalty. I'm a king. I'm a priest. I walk in authority. I have jurisdiction. I govern well. I lead well. I disciple well. I love well. I joy well. I mercy well. I grace well. I love well. I give well. I praise well. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for this couple. I thank you, Lord, that this pain, this stuff, this manifestation that just keeps on. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that this body, the muscles, the tendons, the bones, every area there that was stretched. God, that's trying to come back into place. The nerve endings. Jesus' name, would you give this your son reprieve? Heal him. Touch him. Minister to him. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. I just want to tell you, I have a word for you. The Lord says, not if it will happen. It's like when, if it'll happen, if this is going to, if God says, no, it's going to happen. No more ifs or buts or maybes or maybe. No, you have become so associated, almost like it's conditioned to the fact that things won't happen quickly. And God says, I'm breaking that condition off you. And you're going to start to see things accelerate on your life in this month, in Jesus' name. Amen. That baby will come on time and it'll be a quick birth, a supernatural birth with no complications at all in Jesus' name. That baby will go. Amen. Come on. And I just see quick birth. Quick birth. Supernatural birth. I felt this morning you were knocking on heaven's door. I just saw you knocking, and God says, I am going to open up the vaults of heaven over you. You've been trusting God for the vaults of heaven. And you've been, I was so overwhelmed to see you because you're such a private person. You are, you're very private, but there was such a public display of faith. And I'm telling you, watch God, how God will respond to that. Listen to me, public manifestations of faith and worship bring forth great blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just can we just linger like 2 more seconds? Father God, we just thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, God. We thank you, Lord, this morning that we are revealers, that we are showers, that we are manifestors. God, we carry the manifest presence, the manifesto of Reformation. You need to write that down. That's prophetic. I carry the manifesto of Reformation. I carry the manifesto. I don't carry a treaty. A contract and a treaty are 2 different things. A treaty is all about one person benefiting. But a manifesto is declared law. So I carry the declared law of the kingdom. Declared law. A decree. That wherever I go, I will bring reformation. I will bring transformation. I will create ecosystems, and I'll be royal in my action, in Jesus' name. Can everybody just say amen? Amen. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, David. I just feel like, you know, as for some of us, it might be revelation that we're kings and priests, that we're kings and queens in here. Whether it is or not, I just feel like let's practice that, not just walking in that, but treating each other like that. Walking up to your brother and sister in Christ and respecting them and honoring them as a king underneath our Father in heaven. So thank you, Father, for that identity. That you call us to serve, but we are not slaves. We are kings. Thank you for that charge, and thank you for these words today. Amen.
Hallelujah. You are dismissed. If you need prayer, we can have a prayer team down here. You can respond to what the Lord wants to do. Yeah, amen. Thank you all for coming.